his acceptance, you know, speech of being our newest vice president. So that was an exciting moment for all of us, vice president-elect.
Damaris Webb, it's so great to catch up with you. I mean, seriously, I miss you. I sincerely miss you. I do.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you and to talk with you and to know that everything's fine for right now.
We're here, we're alive, and we're looking to the future while still being connected to the past.
I think there's so much to look forward to, and right now, you know, this pandemic has kept life pretty simple for me, and so I just appreciate all the things that are good, and that's what we have to do as long as we're alive and as long as we can have a modicum of happiness. I think we're doing okay, and health, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Deep gratitude.
And thank you. Gratitude for you for being here today. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org. You can also like us at facebook.com/stage, the letter N, studio. Till next time, I'm Demi Roberts. We're going to go out with a song that I like that keeps me happy. It's called Stick on Me by Joe Kai. And here is music at joekai.com.
Yes. So I have been with you, but I know not where we go. No, I am no longer scared, but I find that I'm reaching for the glue. So stick on me and go, lick your wounds and Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
This is Art Focus, presenting the first in a series of studio visits during the pandemic. My name is Aurora Josephson, and I moved to Portland with my mom, artist Mary Josephson, in 1979. She attended PNCA, and we both were raised by Portland's vibrant artist community. I recently moved back to Portland from the Bay Area, and I've been visiting the studios of the artists who helped raise me. The central questions I have for artists during my studio visit are, what are you up to now? I.e., what is it that inspires you to make art in the time of COVID-19? And how, if at all, has COVID changed the art-making process for you? My visit with Melinda was the fourth in my series of studio visits. I met Melinda Thorsness when I was 7, and she and my mom both waitressed at the Thunderbird Red Lion Inn. I also spent time with Melinda in her capacity as painting instructor at the Creative Arts Community Retreat in the summer, where she holds the title Bingo Queen. Melinda graduated from PNCA with a degree in painting in 1971, and has been a solid fixture in the arts community in Portland ever since. Melinda is currently represented by Michael Parsons Fine Arts Gallery. This phone interview is a follow-up to an in-person studio visit. I have posted images and a short video clip for this visit on my website, aurorajosephson.com.
First thing I wanted to ask you was how Hermione is today.
Hermione is fabulous.
Hermione is a taxidermy studio mascot. Is she a painter? She's posing with these brushes all the time.
Yeah, she's a painter, and she has a tiara on because, of course, Bingo Queen tiara. Me, you know, there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's a taxiderm thing that. Basically what it is it's one of those old, there's an artist that one of my artist friends found online who takes the old weasels that women used to hang around their necks with clips on and finds them at thrift stores, and then she stuffs them and makes them into characters. And anyway, I'm grateful that Marcia and Anna sweet enough to actually commission one.
Yes.
I know. Hermione, and I just immediately named her Hermione. I don't know why, but anyway, that's her name.
It's a fine name.
It's a fine name. So for a studio mascot.
For a studio mascot. All right. So now that we have that little intro, you currently have 4 painting series. I think I counted correctly. going on during this pandemic of ours. It was pretty impressive to see.
I did the first pandemic series I started, of course, started mid-March when the pandemic hit. And I couldn't quit painting. You know, it was like I just had to vomit out all of these paintings of isolation, bats in the night, because, you know, you're not supposed to eat them, apparently. And
you're calling those the Corona paintings, or?
The Corona paintings, yeah. Those are okay. All the Corona paintings. And there's one Corona painting that I did that I think is a signature painting for this time. And I think you saw it. It was on the wall. It's a long, narrow one. I think it's 2 by 4 feet or something. And, you know, it has everything in it, from the mask to the chickens to the bats to the woman from 1918 pandemic with a figure in front of her in a red robe pleading, like, what's the answer? And that's one of my favorite ones of that series. But I did, you know, paintings about the Tulsa rally, the aftermath of that, and the stupid state from Las Vegas that wanted to open the casinos. I did a blood money painting of that one. You know, just idiocy.
I wanted to just continue on with the Corona paintings. There was the one painting, and just talk about the effect of the virus on your artwork, but it's the painting. It depicts a woman standing in front of a desolate background filled with charred remnants of trees and barren earth. Yeah. The skies are gray with ominous clouds. She's wearing a pink and blue vertically striped dress, which elongates her figure. She is bound with rope from shoulders to her knees and is wearing a pair of blue rubber gloves and is, of course, masked. Now, you mentioned that day about feeling bound, desolate, and alone during the pandemic, much like the painting.
Yeah, that was actually the first painting I did because
in the series. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because it was. You make me sound so cheerful.
I know. I was like, gosh, that was a quote actually, because I went back and listened to our studio visit, and there's a lot of great meat there, but Lily, darling Lily, kept disrupting us.
Oh, yes, my sweet pea. You know. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that was the first one, and I did, because, once again, you know, I'm apparently a kind of a social person, and when that first hit and that first month of being unable to leave the house, or being particularly terrified then. Little did I know how terrifying this year would get beyond that. Yeah, and so it was, I felt the isolation and the inability to go anywhere, and the complete fear of even going to Winco. You know, it was like, oh my God, we're all going to die.
It was that, would you say it's a self-portrait? I thought you mentioned it was kind of a self-portrait.
Oh, geez, sweetheart, all of our paintings are self-portraits. It doesn't matter who you are or what you're painting, it's all a self-portrait.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it was certainly the, not particularly a self-portrait, but certainly a self-psychological portrait. That I'm not that good looking, honey.
Yes, you are.
Well, trust me, this mask thing is just a godsend for us older women.
you look smashing. I'm going to have pictures of the whole visit that we had together on my website, so that'll be nice for people to everyone to enjoy. So we have the Corona paintings. Are we going to digress? The 47 paintings of Trump. Are there still 47?
There's more. I mean, seriously, since he got elected that morning, I started, and nothing that I have painted in the last 4.5 years does not directly implicate him and his bolt. I mean,
that transcends the coronavirus. It's kind of like it's ongoing.
Yeah, well, no, it's not now, because it's been a year now since I've done a political painting, and the last one was the murder of Soleimani, which he did, which we just, I didn't realize this, but I heard on the news the other day, that was a year ago, a couple of days ago. And I painted that, and it's got Bolton in it and all that crap, you know. Wow. And then the next day, Bolton turned into a good guy, and I just slapped my forehead and went, I cannot keep up. I can't. It's every day, it switches, and it's crazy, and it's manic, and it's nuts.
So then you stopped with that. Okay.
I kind of stopped with that, and I kind of took a break. And then, of course, yeah. Corona hit.
Okay. So then the Corona.
Yeah.
And then where do the Suburbiana and the little girls come in? So the Suburbiana was kind of ongoing, but the little girls are very special.
Yeah. And the little girl paintings, I was thinking about that after you texted me today about the questions you were going to ask me. And the interesting thing is that, considering I barely survived a very deadly virus a year ago last fall, and still am not completely I'm completely over the virus, but the damage that it actually did to my body is kind of difficult. I have a hard time walking straight and stuff like that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
You seem vigorous to me, Melinda, always.
I put on a good front. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that I was thinking about that after you sent me that question, and the last time that I did little kids was the year that my mother died and was dying. Yeah, and I have not done specifically children since then. And I'm thinking my thoughts are that maybe now that I am 71 and, you know, getting a little, you know, obviously not as vigorous as I used to be, that maybe I'm trying to figure out that part of my life, you know, when I was little.
Right. You mentioned, so you mentioned that you weren't, that the girls are, they're good, but they're not necessarily innocent.
Oh, and like no, there was no innocence in childhood. And Jesus, God, that's what I, interestingly enough, someone said somewhere the other day, oh, well, children are resilient. If children were so resilient, we wouldn't have so many fuck-up adults. I mean, let's talk about it. We are not that resilient. We are damaged by our parents. Every one of us is. And though some may try their best, some others didn't try their best. And we are the products of that. And so, philosophical. So, but
I was enjoying in those series of pictures where you would have, and they also, again, look kind of like little Melindas, all of them, like the blonde hair. They all have blonde hair, and they're, like, really active. Some of them have boxing gloves. One had a chainsaw. Did the chainsaw make the cut, or was that something?
Actually, I gave her a second chainsaw.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and, but she's very, very sweet. And
can't wait to see that.
She's very sweet. I know. She's so sweet. And I just had a thought an hour ago, and I went back out to the studio and kind of gave her a little halo because she's got this little look on her face like, oh, the sweetest thing in the world.
Oh, my God. With the double chainsaws and now a halo on her head.
Well, we're not sure about the halo yet.
We're not sure.
May,
okay.
That may come off tomorrow because, you know, these things are in flux.
About your style. Your style, because you had we have the video that I'm going to post too of you unpainting, which I haven't ever seen someone do it so effectively.
Well, and that painting died. I mean, it's still there.
Oh, it died. It'll come back.
It will come back. I got it out today and looked at it, and I long story made sure it's like giving reverse birth or something. like it gets shoved back into your vagina brain and yet you want to pull it out, but it gets shoved back in there.
Oh my.
So anyway, but it does, you know, and once again, that's I think what I was talking about this pandemic, which I'm loving it at this point. I mean, it's there's nothing I need to do. I actually today, Aurora,
yes,
had to. I didn't have to, but I had to go to the bank. Well, I didn't have to go to the bank, but what I had to do is run my car for an hour. So I drove clear out to Troutdale to the bank and back again.
Luxurious.
Well,
for you.
It's because my battery keeps going dead because I have one of those cars with all those computer things in it.
Oh my gosh, I've heard about this. Yes.
Yeah, and you have to run them to charge up all the batteries because AAA is sick and tired of me.
having you come out and jump start and get jump started or whatever.
Yeah,
oh, that's funny.
I need
to buy you as a gift a little charger. There's a little jump charger.
I have one.
You have one.
Just when the battery goes dead, I can't get the car into the garage to hook it up.
Wow. So you went out. Well, I have a couple delightful quotes from our visit where you say, "The last 9 months have been incredibly liberating because there are no shows to be had. And if there are, who cares?" That was one of my favorites. And then you're talking about painting and not thinking about what is expected of you, painting something for yourself just because you want to, just because you feel like it. "I find this time very liberating because I can paint a painting just for me. If they never get shown, I don't care. It's the joy of doing them."
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now your daily routine is to get up, paint, you said from 8 to 3, read, go to sleep.
Okay, so this
eat,
is another.
Repeat,
this is another.
Yes.
Yeah, this is. You got wash, rinse, and repeat.
Open and close the door for Lily a million times.
One of the things I've also been doing in the last couple of months is, long story made short, I have a battery charger in my back that I have to sit around and charge up for a half an hour or an hour every day. And so what I've been doing is after I read my horoscope, you know, because you got to do that on the computer and look at, you know, whatever happened overnight. Anyway, and then I've been looking up artists and I have, I've looked at probably 500 artists. And so I go on the computer and punch in a name of a person whose work I like. And then, of course, you can scroll down and find other things. And so, I have this whole list of names. So I look at least 5 to 6 artists' work every morning. Yeah,
that's
and it's
a great
really,
exercise.
It is, and it's good for the brain cells, you know, to, you know, of course, there's always the people you love like Paula Rego and people like that. But once you punch in Paula Rego, and then you say, "See more images," other images of that same kind of genre come up, which is finger painting for me. And
it expands outward like that through the digital world, the realm of the web. Wow, that is a great idea.
It is absolutely brilliant for me because, you know, I see things that inspire me.
So is this routine like a routine that you've had the whole time, or is this a COVID routine?
It's a COVID routine.
Not necessarily a routine that you're going to keep, but a COVID routine.
I think I will keep the routine even after COVID.
Okay.
Because, you know, what I didn't realize before COVID was how much time I really wasted, like, saying to myself, "Oh, why don't we just go to the Goodwill today?"
Right.
Yeah, and
let's go on an adventure.
Let's go to lunch with the girls. Let's go to a gallery talk. Let's go shopping. But now that's off the table, you know, and so it's... and I'm not an online shopper, so let me make that perfectly clear. Do I want something new desperately? Do I trust the World Wide Web? No, I do not.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. No, I mean, I want to go out and find a treasure.
I miss that part of it, don't you? Just going out,
treasure hunting. Treasure hunting at Marshall's or the Goodwill or, you know, whatever, you know.
Okay, so now this is a question that I'm dying to know. You mentioned that all your paintings are in progress. Does that always apply to a painting as long as it's hanging on the wall of your studio? And how do you know when a painting is finished? Because after I had looked at all the paintings and you had mentioned it's ongoing for you, the process.
It is ongoing, and they're done when I... can't see anything else that I could improve it. You know what I mean? It's they're done when my heart says they're done.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And they're done when I resonate with them, when the characters in these paintings talk to me. It and sometimes, once again, the girl with the chainsaw. I have redone her face so many times, and nitpicked that painting to death.
Like how many? Like so, like a dozen, or do you like six? Or I'm just curious about process.
What?
Until it felt right, you would just kind of smear it and nudge it and.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, some of them are bang and there they are.
I was noticing that you have ones that just are effortlessly it looks like they're dashed off, right?
Yeah.
That you just like, but they look complete and they have a sense of motion and stillness at the same time, like a poise that's there.
Those are magic unicorn days.
Yeah.
Unicorn.
You were like, I just started it, but I don't think it needed anything else. The drawing on your easel of the girl, and is she dance like she's kind of doing a pirouette?
Yeah.
And there's nothing else on the canvas, but it's a beginning, but it looks like it could also be the end, you know, the ending. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and I think that's why I miss so much, because since I moved back to Portland, I've been having a once-a-month artist critique here, where some of my artist friends come over, and we eat and drink, and then we go out to the studio, and they bring in, bring in a painting they're stuck with. And once again, it's been absolutely fabulous for me, because since Michael died, and Michael not being an artist and not being a trained eye, always could find what was wrong with my painting. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I don't have that. And so, because we all get studio blind on occasion, and to have input on your work, it's helped me far more than it's probably helped these other poor people that come over.
You've got them as captive, though. They can.
Well, no, but it's just a critique, you know. So people would bring their work, and we would hang it up, and we would all, as a group, sometimes there were up to 20 people here. Yeah, and we could just discuss, you know, hang the paintings up and talk about them. Which, of course, is something I've noticed that artists just love to do, is talk about their work.
Right.
Yeah, but it also, you know, and ask for input as to where am I going wrong. The one thing that I learned from dear Jay Backstrand, who I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in a nursing home right around the corner from me, but of course I can't go see him because, of course,
oh,
COVID.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on 100 and just right up the street from me, two blocks or half a block maybe, I don't know. Anyway, but he said, you know, it's not what you think it's wrong, it's what's next to it. He's so right about that, because even the girl with the chainsaw, I'm laying in bed last night and I'm looking at the photo of it, because I take photos of the paintings in the studio when I'm done for the day, so that when at 9 o'clock at night after a couple of vodka tonics I can look at them and see. And it was, her socks were too bright. I went, oh my God, there it is. Those socks are too white.
Too much with the socks. And then there it was all clear. There's something to that, looking at it before you go to bed, and then maybe right first thing in the morning, and then you dream about it.
That I have never done until this last section of my existence, as we have it, is that I am dreaming about painting. I'm dreaming that Michael is in Seattle too. I don't know why that one keeps coming up. He's married someone else and had a kid with her. It's like, no, you're dead. Come on, quit it.
It could be an alternate timeline, right?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, but
oh,
I've
my
never.
Goodness.
Yeah, I've never dreamt about the painting process until this, and I think because that is my entire life right now. You know, it's
all you're doing is painting.
That's
painting,
all
painting.
I'm doing. And
right.
Once again, you asked me about purge and vomit, and
Okay, so you said you're a binge and purge painter.
Yeah, I
so,
absolutely.
And
am.
You right now you're on the binging.
I'm on a binging.
You're on a tear.
It's been now since early September, and I can't wait to get out there. I mean, every morning it's like, I can't wait to get out there. And maybe I, once again, I'm hoping it'll last until spring, and so then I can go out in the yard again and not, because there is nothing, Aurora, there's nothing else to do right now. It's
except
winter.
Paint, and this is how you get through it. That's what my mom says. This is the way you get through the pandemic, by working.
Yeah, absolutely.
Working through
absolutely.
It. Okay, now I have this question about, you say you don't, were you joking when you said you no longer sign or title paintings?
Oh, no, I must have been joking about
you
that.
You were joking, okay. I was going to say, oh, yes. And then because we're to end on a light note, I was admiring your TP roll collection, and there were 54 at last count.
I think there's 60 now.
Oh my goodness.
And
okay.
You know, the horrible thing is, since I started this with that whole ridiculous hoarding toilet paper thing that happened.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I started saving the rolls and putting googly eyes on them.
And there'll be a picture posted so you can see this beautiful collection of art that's been made out of.
I can't quit now. I started this. I have to do this until we're all vaccinated and
healthy. Okay, so that's when it ends, when we all get herd immunity. Is that the idea?
That's
then it
the
stops.
Idea.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know if you, well, you probably, of course you don't, you're too young, but Louis Bunce, when he was dying of lung cancer, and kept smoking because dying of lung cancer anyway, and he just made a pyramid out of his cigarette butts, and he just kept adding to it every day until he died. And that's kind of how I feel about
it. I wonder
this.
How big it ended up.
You'd have to ask Jack Portland. He would know. He was the one that told me about the cigarette butt pyramid.
All right, that's my homework.
Yeah, so this is my cigarette butt thing,
homage kind of thing. Yeah.
But once again, I looked at them today and I thought, you know, it's time to start putting some of these in a box, because we're taking up the whole top of that whole bookcase over there.
There's no more room on that side of the studio. There's going to be some panoramas posted too, so everyone can see your glorious collection. So that's going to end when the herd immunity takes place. Now, are the Trump paintings over now? Are the Trump, is the Trump done? Would you say that you were obsessed? And now is the pandemic exacerbated it? And now will it go away?
No, I will never paint him again. And it
okay.
wasn't that I was obsessed. It was, I was appalled. Yeah, that's just completely gobsmacked by the filth of that human piece of waste. No, he's history. He's
like to take a cement fix, be a standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he passed asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol looks
screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Está sintonizando KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7.